America and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, Mudd Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Elegy. Say hi to the good folks, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, so it's just us this week. We had to sort of do this early because Chris has to work this weekend. So anyway, even though it's just two of us, though, we certainly are not in any way lacking for topics this week, especially considering we are now pretty much just a little over a week away from the midterms now. Already shit is really starting to ramp up. We don't have this in the show notes, but some dude actually broke into Nancy Pelosi's house in San Francisco and assaulted her husband with a hammer. Like,
I figured we'd wait till next week to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, see how it shakes out. We'll talk about that more next week. But there's also stuff like there's been stories of people like in Arizona showing up at like early polling places with like Kevlar vests and stuff and masks. It's gonna be a wild election. I can already tell. Obviously, before we do any of that stuff, and that's still a little over a week away, we got a bunch of other stuff to talk about this week. We got stories of guys getting their legal comeuppance. Twitter now officially does have a new owner. Oh, boy. We got more stuff from Kanye's ongoing slow motion downfall that is very, very public. We now know who's going to be the new Prime Minister of the UK. We got some Facebook news about their financial reports. We've also got some more news about that ongoing dispute with the railroad unions. Yeah, that one, we got something about that, and you might want to listen because it might end up affecting, you know, what you're going to have to deal with in coming winter. And, of course, we've got a bunch of entertainment news as well. But we got all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. And to start us out, as always, it's just a couple days before Halloween. And I am, of course, expecting to suddenly hear Christmas music any moment now. But still, for the next couple of days, we do have spooky season still. And I don't really do anything much for Halloween. I'll be talking about what we do that week. But Chris, let's start with you. What have you been doing this last week?
Not a huge amount. Been working a lot. Finally had a couple days off here. So that's been nice. Though the weather's taken a nice turn where it's like about a high of 60 or so these days, which is a lot nicer though. It's Wednesday, the last day I worked. It was a balmy mid-50s with a good bit of rain for most of the day. One of those kind of days just makes you have a lot of fun when you're outside. A lot, you know, lots of good misty rain and such that just gets everywhere. But yeah, for things I've been doing, been watching Manifest season three. I finished that up. I was expecting that to like wrap up because the turn from season two to three is a very harsh turn where they're like, it's been a couple of years. To explain some of the kids getting a little older, that kind of stuff. They're like really taking a turn for this whole calling stuff, turning more religious, to be like, oh, these are callings from God, messages from God kind of thing, and gets way more overt as you get further into the season. And so I was like going into it, the last two episodes are sort of a two-parter. But then it kind of ends with like, oh, this didn't wrap up at all. Did they just end this show expecting a new season? And as I see the end, they go and show like the way that Netflix shows end or shows something next. And it's like, oh yeah, season 4, part 1 will be out November 4th. And I was like, oh, Well, that's good. They'll actually have a chance of, you know, getting some closure here as they go through all their weird shit. They do some bits of like, oh, you know, like the, there's like the X-Men, big part of that is the registration stuff. Mm-hmm. They go with that here for like the people that were on the plane. And then people are like, oh, mm-hmm. Well, what about our civil rights and all this? And to the point of them referencing the Trump administration putting immigrants in cages, that kind of stuff. I was like, I saw that. And I was like, ooh, you guys just dated this big time by making that reference. I think most of the episodes for season 3 were done during COVID, probably later in 2020 or whatever. Where they have messages at the end, they're like, recorded safely, you know, with COVID protocols and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this is neat. But yeah, like the religious stuff kind of gets to the point of, oh, they've potentially found a piece of Noah's Ark. Say that that was like a real thing that happened. They get from the Vatican.
Mm.
So, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
They're dealing with that, and yeah, it's a fun, ridiculous, and silly show.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for how melodramatic and so much so. There's a character that just starts getting more religious and believing that they are being protected by a guardian angel and doing all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
Then you find out like in a flashback, like, oh, they were on the plane, like, handed somebody a brochure, like, have you heard the good word?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of shit. And it's like, oh, okay, you guys are going all in on this. That's how good it is there. So, yeah, Manifest. Pretty good stuff. Looking forward to that new season coming out next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. The other thing I watched on Netflix is Wendell and Wild.
Mm-hmm.
The new like stop motion animated movie from the main director of Coraline and some of those kind of movies, mm-hmm. The Nightmare Before Christmas, that is some well regarded movies of that sort, and this follows along in a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Centered around a girl who, they do this within like 2 minutes of the movie starting. Where she's hanging out with her parents at a carnival, and they go home, and she decided to grab a candied apple
mm-hmm.
while they're driving home. There's like a storm going on, and she takes a bite into it, and then there's big worms that pop out, and she screams, and they go driving right off a bridge. And the parents sacrifice themselves to get her to safety, to swim out of the car mm-hmm. as it's drowning. And so she's, and it fast forwards, you know, a while, she has gone through a hard life, gone through juvie and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Blaming herself for that whole thing. And then, has a run-in with, in this Christian school that, mm-hmm. Brings her in as part of this, like, oh, break the cycle sort of charity kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Where, she gets in contact with these demons from the underworld, I guess,
mm-hmm.
That are named Wendell and Wild, played by mm-hmm. Key and Peele, those guys, and very much styled after them,
mm-hmm.
That realize that she is what they call a Hell Maiden, and that is somebody who has some connection to the underworld for powers of sorts. And that they get her to bring them up to the living world, to get away from their dad, who's running this like amusement park for souls in the underworld, to like punish them and all that. But they want to run their own amusement park. So they try to do that in the overworld, and they figure out like, oh, we have a means for potentially bringing people back to life. And so they come to an agreement with the girl, like, oh, we'll bring back your parents if you bring us up to the living world kind of thing. And then they get exploited by the rich people that are in charge of the town, essentially, that want to bulldoze the town to turn it into a profit prison, for profit prison, and use the school as a means for potentially feeding into that by having more, you know, break the cycle people that when they fail, they get sent to the prison, all that kind of fun stuff. But yeah, it looks really nice. Has some good moments there. Pretty fun movie in the end for all the weird kind of topics it's talking about. But yeah, it's a fun thing. People should definitely check it out. If you want some more kid-friendly, spooky movie kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There. So yeah, there's Wendell and Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And for games, streamed some more Costume Quest 2 yesterday and beat that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too terribly long, like about 6 hours or so. Still has some Steam achievements I can get in that. Because I didn't do everything or find everything in it, but got most of it. But yeah, I like that a lot. Mechanically, it's better than the original game, but in maybe story, the way the game's set up, I would say maybe the original is better. But both are very good games. Like them a lot. But yeah, for other stuff I've been playing, mostly just Rocket League. Still playing in their Halloween event. Trying to unlock the last few items here that I can. But yeah, that's been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, finished the main campaign for Cyberpunk 2077, and I'll get to why in just a little bit. But one of the things that came out recently, well, actually two things that came out recently, and I've been playing both of them. First off, the most recent one was a little game called Signalis. It's a survival, sort of old school survival horror game that was made by Rose Engine, which is this little two-person studio in Germany, and it's essentially there's a lot of really like good world building like right off the bat that is very suggestive and very intriguing. Basically what it is you're playing a replicant, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a synthetic human who wakes up out of cryosleep in this this spaceship that's crash landed on a snowy planet that's been colonized. And exactly what is happening there is very odd. So the world that this takes place in, or the future or whatever, seems to be underneath the rule of a sort of totalitarian government. I forgot what it's called, but it's very kind of reminiscent of little bits and pieces of the German Democratic Republic, aka East Germany. But there's also some elements that seem to suggest bits of North Korea as well. Essentially, you know, their flag even looks kind of like the flag of East Germany, except the middle crest, instead of being made up of the you know, the hammer and compass that the original had, it's also made up of, it's made up more like a mounted telescope. And a lot of the propaganda material that you find seems to talk about how, like, this apparent nation is at war with something they call the Empire, in capital letters, the Empire. They don't really explain what the Empire is. It could just be something they use as, like, a descriptor for everything they don't like. There's massive amounts of surveillance everywhere. Literally every room you go into has a security camera that's following you. You'll also find what is essentially all kinds of like records, like a style looking computers that are like all bulky and have like tape decks and stuff. You'll also find, you know, lots of old outdated technology. Seems to suggest like something some sort of alternate historical timeline, or something seems to have gone, or like something weird has happened, clearly. And it gets even weirder once you get off the ship, because once you get off the ship, you end up going through a very sort of snowy terrain with like blinding snowfall until you find what looks to be like some sort of colony that's underneath the surface of the planet. And you go into it and it's like very brutalist looking. All the rooms are very cramped and everything. Also the hallways, there's like propaganda posters everywhere. But what you find out very quickly is something has gone wrong. You do occasionally come across other humanoids like you, but everybody else that you come in contact with is like corrupted, or they're I wouldn't quite call them zombies, because unlike, you know, regular zombies who try to like eat people, these are actually just trying to, well, they're trying to kill you, but they have like weapons. They have like, you know, like butcher's knives or some kind of bludgeons or stuff like that. Exactly what has happened to them, I have not been able to. A lot of weird shit that I'm seeing. And also, the other thing that's happening is that I'm getting all these like weird flashbacks of like, it seems to suggest that this individual that you play has some sort of relationship with this place, even though it seems like they just discovered it. I've also noticed I have not run across a single male character the whole time I've been playing, which really makes me wonder what's going on here. There's a lot of odd shit that's happening underneath the surface. But other than that, I'm also playing Persona 5 Royal, which is, of course, the sort of perfected experience, the more perfected version of the Persona 5. And right off the bat, when I started playing it, I already was seeing things that I didn't originally see in the first game. In fact, the new character that they decided to introduce into the series, into this particular game, is already like, already sort of, is already showing up just out of nowhere. And already, all like, weirdly enough, you know, the in the beginning of the game where you show up and There sort of begins in media res, where you're doing that whole job in like what's supposed to look like a casino. Well, the girl shows up like midway through it and actually helps you fight off a bunch of enemies. It's very weird. But already, like, the art, you know, the graphics look more improved. The cutscenes in particular not only look more improved, there's more of them. And just altogether, it looks very intriguing. And I loved that game when I first played it, and I'm very excited to be able to play it again. But the difference this time is that there's more stuff that you can encounter. So, other than that, I'd finished Cyberpunk 2077. And the reason I finished it was because I had also finished Cyberpunk Edgerunners. And anybody who has seen that anime afterwards, they will always tell you, yeah, it looks amazing, but it is depressing as hell when it finishes. All I will say is Adam Smasher paid for his crimes. That's all I'm going to say. But I ended up getting the Nomad ending, where you and Judy decide to leave Night City behind, join the Aldecaldos, and go across the border into Tucson. So, yeah, I'm still going to keep the game around, though, because I want to play the expansion that's coming out. And then after that, Halloween is coming. And I do not have any plans, because we don't have any trick-or-treaters around here. Do they have any trick-or-treaters where you live, Chris?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Is it, like, I say this every freaking year. It's true. There don't really seem to be trick-or-treaters anymore. Like, I don't know if it's just because of where I live, but it just doesn't really seem to be a thing, which makes me, sometimes I wonder, like, obviously are still a thing somewhere because they still sell all that candy, but, you know, it's just, is it a dying tradition, or is it just a tradition that's happening in places I am not? I really don't know.
I think it just have to be in areas full of kids.
There's plenty of kids where I live. I don't know. It might just be, I don't know. Well, anyway, now that we've gone through all that, you got anything you want to add before we move on?
No.
No? Okay. Well, then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Rantoid. And, you know, it is still the spooky season, so I thought I would sort of end the, you know, this little October of this year for this particular show by talking about a real-life horror story, mostly because of just how batshit insane it is, except everything that I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. The incidents that I'm fixing to talk about, they've inspired movies, they've inspired books, music albums, all kinds of things. And of course, it revolves around serial killers, but it revolves around a specific kind of serial killer. Now, the guy I'm about to tell you about has been dead for, quite a while now. But at one time, he was the absolute terror of northern Mexico. He was not just a serial killer. He was also a cult leader, a wannabe warlock, and a drug dealer. He was basically a mishmash of just all the popular negative aspects that people tend to think when they think of the worst, darker parts of Mexico. And before I go any further, I need to emphasize, despite what you typically hear, Mexico isn't quite as bad as, you know, the media typically tends to portray it. It is true that, you know, the drug cartels are a thing and government corruption is a thing, but Mexico is a first world industrialized country. It is a democratic country, and it is a very diverse country. It has a lot of issues, but it is still a country with real people there who live their lives just like you do, trying to do everything that they can to get by. So, with all that said, this is the story of Adolfo de Jesus Constanzo, the warlock of northern Mexico. Now, Constanzo was not originally from Mexico. He was actually originally from Florida. He was born in 1962 to a Cuban immigrant who, you may think, oh, she fled the revolution. No, she just left in 1962 because she wanted to. She had her child in Miami, Florida, and he was baptized as a Roman Catholic. Now, however, his mother also was part of a lot of, you would say occult religions, but that's not really fair, and I'll get to why. She would regularly take him to trips to Haiti to learn about Haitian voodoo. And eventually, him and his mother would take up a religion called Palo Mayombe. Now, I want to say off the beginning, the religion of Palo is kind of like Haitian voodoo. It's one of those things that sort of came over from Africa through the slave trade, except instead of getting its starts in Haiti like voodoo did, it ended up sort of setting down roots in Cuba before it ended up sort of spreading to the rest of South America. Now, there are many forms of Palo as a religion, but the particular form that Constanzo and his mother took part in was Palo Mayombe, which, among other things, uses animal sacrifice. Now, the central sort of thing about Palo Mayombe, amongst other things, is a object called an inganga. And basically what an inganga is the little iron cauldron that you feed things to in order to get blessings or curses or power or whatever. And it's kind of complicated, but basically it involves things like, okay, do you want physical strength? You burn pieces of wood in the inganga. Do you want long life or health? You sacrifice an animal or maybe feed its blood to the inganga, and then you worship the inganga and provide for the inganga, stuff like that. Well, Constanzo eventually became a warlock for hire. Eventually, he moved south of the border into Mexico, and he settled there, and he started sort of selling his services as a magician for profit. And you know, he would sell spells and clairvoyance abilities, stuff like that. He had several clients, but a lot of them were, you know, criminals of some kind, you know, drug dealers. And he also had people that were in law enforcement, you know, police officers that were also his customers. And, you know, they would like, you know, I want invulnerability from police detection or gunfire. And so he would, you know, stew bits of animal bones and blood and chanting over it and, you know, various insects, spiders, scorpions, stuff like that. And through his work, he actually managed to develop a cult around himself. He started a sort of... Now, the group didn't really have, like, an... Law enforcement used to call them narco-Satanists, which isn't really a good description because this is not related to Christianity at all. But basically, because he got more and more involved in the drug trade, obviously that means you get involved with the cartels. And once you get involved in the cartels, that means you get enemies. So he started getting various various followers from various cartels that would do his bidding. So if a cartel member displeased him, like say they jilted him out of his pay or whatever, were actively trying to hurt business, these people would go out, find the person, kill them, hack them up into pieces, and throw their bodies into the river. That is, if they were lucky. If they weren't lucky, he was tortured for extended time periods before putting their parts into the Nganga for his own personal magic abilities. Now, here's the thing. I talked about how he was sort of like a warlock for hire. Unlike a lot of those guys who know that they're bullshitting people, Constanzo genuinely believed in what he was doing. He really did believe that he had magical powers, that the Nganga had magical effects, and that he was dealing out these magical spells to people. And it could be just because of just the amazing amount of luck he had that it seemed to succeed. But the thing is with stuff like this is as you're getting more and more power, you start to get more and more power hungry. And eventually he got to the point where it was time to start sacrificing humans, random people, into his Nganga. That went on for a few years. And that would include rival drug traffickers to even a member of his own cult. Just to sort of set an example for the rest of the people being, don't fuck around and you won't find out. But he finally went over the line in the 90s. Because in the early 90s, he decided that he needed the brain of Ganga to give him. So his group managed to kidnap a gentleman, an American college student, who was in Cancun for spring break, which they then took him to Costanzo's little ranch, tortured and mutilated him, and of course fed parts of him to the Nganga while burying, you know, grounds. Now, as you can imagine, once the United States government eventually got hold of news, they were like, okay, it's time to go to our friends south the border and see if we can find what happened to this kid. Now, for the record, it was the Mexican cops who finally tracked this guy down, okay? So I want to make it clear. It was Mexicans who found this guy, who, I remind you, was actually an American living in Mexico. Okay, Constanzo was not Mexican. He was an American born in America who lived in Mexico. The cops went to his ranch because they managed to get capture two of his cult members who confessed and pointed out all the areas where, you know, the bodies were buried. They managed to find 15 people buried along the property. And then they found the poor kid's brain. It was stewing in Constanzo's Nganga cauldron in the little shed that he used to do these rituals. So at that point, it was basically the end for Constanzo and his cult. They were all hunted down and arrested, and Constanzo himself was finally cornered in an apartment in, I think it was Mexico City, surrounded by 180 police officers. Reason being, they were pretty sure that magic probably wasn't a real thing, but they weren't going to take any chance. So Constanzo, rather than allow himself to be captured, he instructed the one henchman he had taken with him to shoot him. The henchman then proceeded to shoot Constanzo about 22 times because he wasn't going to take any chances either. Now, if this story sounds familiar, this was actually the inspiration for a film that came out some years ago called Borderland. It's also been the inspiration for a bunch of other books and albums. It's a fairly gruesome story, mostly due to the fact that it seems to be contained like so many like B-movie tropes, and yet it all actually happened. That was the story of Jesus de Adolfo Constanzo, the Black Wizard of Northern Mexico. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah. Now, obviously, if you want to hear more, there's plenty of material about him online. He was a legitimately terrifying individual. He also doesn't look like you would expect him to, because he looks like Emilio Estevez, you know, wearing with a mullet. So with that out of the way, it is now time to go on to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes. And our first asshole of the week is, some of you guys may remember last year, there was a guy who got into his SUV and drove through a Christmas parade. Well, he was just convicted in court this week.
Yeah. Convicted of killing 6 people when he drove his SUV through a Christmas parade last year in Wisconsin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The jury found Daryl Brooks guilty of 6 counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Mm. Faces a mandatory life sentence on each count.
Yeah.
Deliberated for about 3 hours and 15 minutes. He drove his Ford Escape into a Christmas parade in Waukesha in suburban Milwaukee on November 21st, moments after fleeing a domestic disturbance with his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Yeah.
Pleaded not guilty by reason of mental disease this year, but withdrew the plea before his trial began with no explanation.
Mm.
Days before the trial started, he dismissed his public defenders, electing to represent himself. So, yeah, not... Mm. Something of the best mind going into this.
Yeah. Just goddamn. So now we're waiting for his sentencing, any word on when it's supposed to be?
Let's see. I don't think it says anything here about that.
Yeah.
It'll be at a later time.
Yeah. All right, then. Next up, we also have the 3 men who were convicted of supporting the plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Whitmer. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. These are the other 3 guys involved that were going to be involved in that. As you can imagine, stupid plan.
Yeah. These 3 were convicted of all charges.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what charges were those? They were found guilty of providing material support for a terrorist act as members of a paramilitary group.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolverine Watchmen.
Mm.
Let's see here. They were also convicted of a gun crime and membership in a gang. They say the Wolverine Watchmen were a criminal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
They're... jurors read and heard violent anti-government screeds, as well as support for the Boogaloo, a civil war that might be triggered by a shocking abduction. Prosecutors said COVID-19 restrictions ordered by Whitmer turned out to be fruit to recruit more people to the Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see where they got the specific charges here.
Mm.
They don't seem to have them here for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I guess that's conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Or aiding and abetting or whatever it's. But yeah, they're probably going to get a good bit of time out of this.
Oh, yeah.
As they deserve.
And finally, our last asshole week, Elon Musk has officially finished his Twitter accusation, and the, one of the first things he did is immediately fire two of its top executives.
Yep, fired CEO Parag Agrawal, CFO Ned Segal, and Chief Legal Counsel Vijaya Gade. The last one is the person most known for being the one to pull the trigger to ban Trump permanently from Twitter. Just hours after he finalized the deal, and if you saw him, he literally carried a sink into Twitter headquarters. Because I guess that's the pun he wanted to make, to let that sink in. That's the level of person that just acquired Twitter. Essentially one of the top town hall, you know, social media sites that provides a lot of usefulness to society in general throughout the world. But unfortunately, it seems like he's going to bring some immediate and swift firings to get rid of a lot of the people there. It's probably going to let a lot more of, you know, the bots, spammers, all the terrible people do whatever they want without much recourse. Hackers probably having an easier time once he gets through. So yeah, all that kind of stuff that, and they're even looking at potentially pulling out of the stock market to take Twitter private so that he has, you know, nobody to answer to for anything he's doing.
Man, it's going to be, I'm still going to be on Twitter. I'm not going anywhere because fuck that guy. But, yeah, it's going to be odd to see how Twitter changes and how quickly, too. But it's definitely going to be pretty ugly. So, hell, I got a front row seat. Finally, we have our heroes of the week, just to get that taste out of our mouth. Michael Fannin. You guys remember him? He was one of the Capitol Police officers who was pulled into the crowd of violent rioters to get beaten. Well, the man who pulled him into the crowd was just sentenced to over 7 years in prison.
Yeah, 90 months behind bars. But yeah, in the Lower West Terrace Tunnel, a small entryway into the Capitol, the mob fought police with chemical spray, poles, bats, and officers' own batons and shields against the line of police, including Fanon, who in protecting the building, who were protecting the building and those inside. It was during this battle that a man named Albuquerque had pulled Fanon away from his fellow officers, grabbing his arm around his neck, tearing him into the crowd, according to court documents, which consumed Fanon and beat him unconscious. The judge here said these are some of the darkest acts on one of our darkest days. He was your prey. He was your trophy. And yeah, during the hearing, prosecutors played video from Fanon's body-worn camera on January 6th, which showed Head initially telling Fanon, "I'm going to get you out of here." Thank you, Fanon replied. That, yeah, he believed he was going to be helped here. However, he yelled seconds later, "I got one," to the mob. Fanon tested, he felt Head choke me and drag me out into the vicious crowd. Holding on to Fanon as another rioter tased him. The officer suffered a heart attack as rioters beat him and tased him in his neck repeatedly. Show Mr. Head the same mercy he showed me on January 6th. Fanon told the judge Thursday, none. So yeah, that's a big deal. One of, if not the most severe sentencing of anybody that's been tied to this. Fortunately, it's all these dumbasses that are getting charged. None of the big people just yet. Hopefully we hear something about that.
Yeah.
It would be annoying to let Trump get into actually campaigning for 2024. And then removing whatever need that the DOJ would be had to charge him for his involvement in that. Who knows? But yeah, there you go.
So that is our hero of the week. And not the guy who got jailed, but Officer Fannin. That's our hero.
And the judge.
And the judge, obviously. Moving on from the show proper, now time for the proper show proper. And speaking of big people getting their comeuppances, Kanye West. It has been a very public, very slow motion deterioration with Kanye over the last few years. And once he started out with the open anti-Semitism, that seemed to have been the final straw for just about everybody. So one of the things that everybody was, you know, sort of waiting for was, when is Adidas going to drop him? Because a lot of his, his Yeezy line of shoes and a lot of its merchandise is done through Adidas. Well, Adidas, of course, is a German company. And as you can probably imagine, they get very, very a little sort of worried when you start getting people espousing Nazi ideology like Kanye. And considering that, you know, they were locked in a contract dispute with Kanye, people were wondering, when is the shoe going to finally drop? Well, it dropped. They dropped their partnership with Kanye this week.
Yeah. They said they do not tolerate anti-Semitism and any other sort of hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
That his recent comments were unacceptable, hateful, and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And those words violate the company's values of diversity, inclusion, mutual respect, and fairness.
Mm-hmm.
And they say they will take a 250 million euro hit, about $246 million. Dollars to his fourth quarter sales.
Mm-hmm.
They have stopped sales and production of all the Yeezy branded products, as well as payments to Yee and his companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal. Much with him getting dropped by most other brands out there.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Balenciaga last week, but Vogue also cut ties with him. Gap announced they were removing their Yeezy Gap merchandise. A bunch of the other companies as well just had enough of him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever their merchandise was selling was not worth the comments where even recently he was saying, you know, I can say anti-Semitic shit and Adidas cannot drop me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, all right, go do that and see how it works out for you.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, not very well, because they dropped him.
Yeah.
Then this other weird thing happened where apparently he went to headquarters, Skechers, which is another shoe manufacturer. He just sort of showed up there uninvited. Nobody knew why he was there. He was, like, filming stuff for some reason. I'm not sure if it was, like, with a camera or with his phone. And basically they had to escort him off the premises.
Yeah.
It's just that's just weird.
Yeah, and Skechers is especially one that would not tolerate this kind of stuff because they were founded by a Jewish man.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure they don't really have any business relations with him right now.
Yeah, I think that's why he was showing up to like sign some sort of new deal right away.
Yeah.
They were not interested in any of his shit.
Mm-hmm.
In a statement, the shoemaker said two executives escorted Yee and others from the company's offices following a brief conversation after he engaged in unauthorized filming.
Mm-hmm.
Skechers is not considering and has no intention of working with West, company said. Let's see here. Yeah, that's about it, really. It's just another weird like publicity stunt he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It came about as bad of a time as it could.
Yeah. And amongst other things, I think a lot of people forgot, this guy also started a school as well, Donda Academy. Yeah. It actually just shut down for the school year this week. So
Yeah, after running for a bit, they sent out an email based saying, let's see here, expressing its gratitude for the community of families and scholars that Donda Academy brought together. The email then went on to say that at the direction of our founder, Donda Academy will close for the remainder of the 2022-2023 school year effective immediately, Thursday, October 27th. And then in all caps, there is no school tomorrow. We intend to begin afresh in September of 2023. We are confident that our scholars will continue to advance as the creative and innovators, courageous influencers, and academic leaders of the next generation. Thank you for your support. And just so you know, this school is not accredited. They don't even really necessarily push themselves as like a school of sorts. They're kind of just a, like some of their major stuff was like, oh, there's parkour classes and other weird stuff like that. An unaccredited Christian private school where the cost to attend is $15,000 a year. Parents must sign an NDA to register the children as students. School promises a faith-based education with the promotion of Christian values alongside a rigorous core curriculum that includes math, science, and language arts. But, yeah, that follows several weeks of backlash against E4's anti-Semitic comments. Let's see. Yeah, it's... You can go find a video of, like, them having some sort of Donda Academy theme that they were having the kids perform. That just didn't make any sense. As a thing, other than that, I guess that's a thing you could do. But yeah, just lots of weird stuff. And like, he even has a sports agency, Donda Sports, that apparently only had two athletes signed to it. Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics and Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams, who both dropped them. After this stuff came out. And it's like, he was running this as well as Antonio Brown, who is a former NFL wide receiver, who has his own mental health issues that he just doesn't seem to care about. I would rather just be an asshole all the time. Who also put out a statement being like, I'm sticking with Donda Sports. Like, well, good luck with a... You know, a sports agency with no clients. That's going to go very well for you guys. So good luck with that.
Yeah. But if you're thinking like this is something like nobody is and taking his rhetoric seriously, they are. Or at the very least, there are people who are already racist scumbags who are using his rhetoric as some sort of rallying call. A bunch of these neo-Nazi fuckers actually hung a sign over the LA freeway showing that said Kanye is right about the Jews.
And with another sign next to it listing like parts of the Bible that supposedly support their thing, which doesn't make any sense for anybody that knows about this stuff. I think it also had just like Goyim on it. Which people are like, that's not a Jewish slur.
No, Goyim is...
other ones are... that you would use if you really wanted to. But that's just like a word that they use.
Goyim is an old Yiddish word that describes non-Jews. You know, it's basically like the equivalent of Gentile.
But yeah, this... coinciding with Elon Musk getting... you know, ownership of Twitter. It seems like anti-Semitism is just going to get a fresh boost here with Kanye's stuff and Elon Musk's general attitude of no consequences for anything. And so, yeah, that's going to continue to be a dark time for Jewish people in general. Especially if the Republicans get back in power again. For as much as they talk about Israel, they do not like Jewish people. So yeah, there you go. Unfortunately.
But yeah. And part of the reason why, you know, he started spouting this bullshit is because he started hanging out with Candace Owens. And, you know, and her husband who, you know, owns Parler.
Yeah, and there's unfortunately like a segment of black culture that is in some sort of like oppression Olympics with the Jews, or who's had it worse, and that's led to a lot of bad opinions and shit being
said.
Well,
it sort of has its origins with basically not the religion of Islam. I mean, specifically that organization, the Nation of Islam. A lot of the sort of sects and groups that kind of grew out of it. But yeah, unfortunately. God, it sucks. Well, moving on from there. We now know who the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is going to be. It is going to be Rishi Sunak, who is going to be the first person of color to be the Prime Minister, first Hindu. And before you that said, he's kind of a prick.
Yeah, he's like a private school prick.
Yeah.
That's very entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Rich dude, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also virulently anti-transgender, anti-LGBTQ, mm-hmm. all that kind of fun stuff. People have gone over his like cabinet appointments to be like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, a lot of them have voted against, you know, same-sex marriage and transgender bills mm-hmm. and all that kind of transgender rights bills and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. So, you know, Evan's continuing that whole unfortunate, like, cultural backlash in British culture against transgender people,
mm-hmm.
Much as it is going elsewhere, but England is doing especially a lot to try to harm those people,
mm-hmm.
Especially with J.K. Rowling mainstreaming that stuff big time alongside a lot of their media.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been some good jokes from people of Indian ancestry talking about, you know, the guilt tripping, you know, Southeast Asian parents and mm-hmm. Indian parents and Asian parents and all that due to their kids. Like, well, one of us can become prime minister. Why can't you give me grandchildren? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff comes around. It's like maybe the only light part of it, but he's going to obviously have his work cut out for him to undo
mm-hmm.
Liz Truss's damage to everything, as well as mm-hmm. Boris Johnson's. So, yeah, that is a big deal. Yeah. And this guy can go fuck himself.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, this is the second unelected prime minister that is going to be in government. Because I have a feeling if they called a snap election, the Tories would probably lose in a landslide at this point. But
I would hope so.
Yeah, you would hope so. But speaking of conservative asshole, Dr. Oz. So Dr. Oz, as everybody knows, he's running against John Fetterman for, I think it's senator, right? Yeah.
Yeah, U.S. Senate.
Senate. And, you know, that'll, which, by the way, reminder, once again, a little over a week. Do your part. And amongst other things, he recently had a debate with John Fetterman. Now, a televised debate. Now, you can sort of argue the, you know, wisdom of having Fetterman, you know, going on debate, you know, considering, you know, his recent stroke and everything. But that's honestly besides the point, because on top of saying that local political leaders should be involved, he also mocked veteran stroke.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yep. Basically, veteran opened just saying, you know, I had a stroke. Mm-hmm. He's never let me forget that. And I missed some words during this debate. Smushed two words together. It's knocked me down, but I'm going to keep coming back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a little bit of trouble talking a couple times, but nothing too bad. Especially for as much as people look at, like, you know, Biden speaking issues and
mm-hmm.
Trump speaking issues, and speaking is tough at times.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has the mental or the physical skills to do mm-hmm. it perfectly. But yeah, at one point, Oz later on responded to him saying, obviously, I wasn't clear enough for you to understand this. You know, just saying like, oh, you've had a stroke, so you're obviously not of sound mind to understand me. I was like, oh, yeah, you're just being an asshole. A guy who is a doctor, heart doctor, so not necessarily of, you know, brain surgery or anything, but everything that Fetterman's doctors have said, he should be able to recover fully from it.
Yeah.
The only real issues he has is just some speaking stuff, and he's obviously working through it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. But yeah, the other big moment is when he was talking about abortions. Mm-hmm. I don't want the federal government involved with that at all. I want mm-hmm. women, doctors, local political leaders letting the democracy mm-hmm. that's always allowed our nation to thrive to put the best ideas forward so states can decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's not how that should work at all. Mm-hmm. You should not have to consult your doctor and then your local political leaders to see what the laws are to allow, because there's been plenty of examples of people who've had, you know, miscarriages and other mm-hmm. Such issues with their pregnancies, and like literally tried to beg local political leaders for mm-hmm. you know, help of some kind, and they basically just tell them to go fuck off because
mm-hmm.
they literally do not care
mm-hmm.
about this. And yeah, they try to frame John Fetterman as a radical, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
not really.
No.
He just believes that we can do better in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked about, you know, healthcare and all that, where he's more in line with like a Bernie Sanders, but also supports, you know, a $15 federal minimum wage
mm-hmm.
At minimum,
mm-hmm.
Because that is the bare minimum at this point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's this pesky inflation thing going on that's, one, it's global.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a U.S. localized thing.
Yeah.
In fact, we're not even that high up on terms of, you know, inflation percentages of prices.
Good. God, no. Look at what's going on in the U.K. right now.
Yeah. There's a couple that are in double digits, especially.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which one specifically, but yeah, we're not super high up there, like in like the 10 to 20 range
mm-hmm.
For that. And yeah, a lot of that also is corporate greed.
Yeah.
They're just increasing prices because they know they can.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't going to stop buying their products, and mm-hmm. they do that and they get more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's the entire plan of the oil companies.
Yeah.
That's why your gas price is so high. It's because you need gas to get to work and to get to where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So why sell it for less?
Yeah. But
also wring as much money out of us as they can until we get electric cars.
Mm-hmm. Because they know it's coming. And yeah, so now for some for financial news, Facebook, they are currently, because of their financial report, they are at their lowest point since 2016. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, I believe I've seen it mentioned that their like market cap is below Home Depot,
mm-hmm.
which is like where they were at, you know, as of a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's some wild stuff.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, they're let's see, they yeah, their stock had just fallen under $98 a piece, level not seen since 2016. So far this year, their stock had fallen about 70%. It's now worth around $270 billion, roughly a third of its market capitalization of just under $900 billion a year ago. Yeah, it's reacting to things like slowdown digital advertising, mm-hmm. new security protocols on Apple devices, and some Google devices that are, you know, making it less easy to data mine
mm-hmm.
from people on phones.
Mm.
And the bet on the metaverse that has not turned out well at all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as they continue to like brag about their graphical improvements in those avatars
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and such, where it's like, oh, here's how, you know, we've added legs, and they can't even show an actual demo of that. so much as they like graduate from, you know, a Wii era style Mii look for their avatars to Xbox 360 era, you know, avatars. It's like those came out 10 years ago. How are you just getting to that? And it's like, there's a reason why most VR games and such don't even go for like super realistic graphics, because that's hard to pull off in a convincing way in VR. You know, you got like Rec Room out there. It's literally just Rayman style, segmented, you know, hands are separate from the body, because that's just easier to do. And if you do it well enough, nobody really cares so much about that stuff. So yeah, Facebook's in a spiral over a lot of things, and it's going to be tough for them to get out of it, because they just employ so many people, try to do so many things that they're not doing so well in many of them. Mm-hmm. That's going to affect their value big time.
Yeah. And let's be honest, Zuckerberg himself is I want to think that he's at least somewhat self-aware enough that he realized growing up, but he's like so all in on a lot of this stuff that he can't back out now. But I don't think that's the case. But and now for some labor news. You guys might have remembered here a couple months ago, there was this ongoing dispute between the major railroad companies and the workers' unions, that got so big that eventually that President Biden himself actually had to get involved in the discussion. Well, yeah. there had a lot of people who had thought reached an agreement, and that agreement would be agreed on, and it would be no, because another railroad just stepped in and they voted down the tentative.
Yeah, I think this is still kind of centered over sick leave policies.
Yeah.
Unions argue that current policies don't allow workers to take personal sick time off.
Mm-hmm.
While the Presidential Emergency Board, appointed by President Biden, negotiated increases in wages, mm-hmm. did not address the leave policies. So that's kind of the big sticking point, that mm-hmm. these people are working, you know, much of the year without much ability to take time off.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal there.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of the bigger unions out there, represents over 6,000 workers in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Increases the possibility of a strike in November that would endanger the national supply chain if a deal is not reached.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're going to have to go back to the table and work more on this deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks that doesn't necessarily mean a strike coming, but if a strike does come, might be a good idea to, you know, go and do some bulk shopping in the near future, just as a suggestion. You know, might not be a bad idea. Because, you know, if the strike does happen, that's kind of going to bring some of our supply chain stuff to a halt. But, you know, just kind of throwing that out there. Anyway, next up in stories of what the hell were they thinking, Penn State recently canceled a campus event that was going to feature Proud Boys founder Gavin McInnes for a very obvious reason.
Yeah, it's... they cited threat of escalating violence. Let's see. Yeah, it was supposed to start at 8 p.m., but by 7:15, the university said its police department deemed the event too dangerous to proceed, which was an abrupt reversal for the school, which had condemned the views of McInnes and other far-right figure Alex Stein, even as it said free speech concerns required it to host them for a student-organized event on campus. Students who protested the event cheered its cancellation, shouting, "Whose campus? Our campus." Yeah, let's see. The group, conservative student group, Uncensored America. So you need to know what sort of group they are. Saying, "We are very disappointed. Wanted people from all different political viewpoints to have a fun, entertaining, and peaceful evening. Sadly, attendees were intimidated by violent protests and could not enter the venue safely. Like they were trying to say this was be like a comedy event of some sort.
Yeah, that was the excuse they were trying to use.
And it was dubbed Stand Back and Stand By, billed it as a provocative comedy night, which is like, I don't know that any of these guys are actually funny. And anyway, so yeah, that's not going to fly with people that know what's really going on here. So yeah, and then like the college put out a statement that was basically like, trying to see if they, I don't think they have it here. But yeah, they were basically like condemning the divisiveness of politics in this country as a reason for canceling this versus, you know, bringing two Nazis on board to do a supposed comedy event that references, you know, terms that led to the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah, not to mention the Charlottesville shit. But the thing, of course, you also have to remember, they specifically go out trying to start fights. It's like their MO.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was just a bad idea all around. And frankly, they were smart to cancel it when they did. So, next up. Chris, have you ever heard of something called Kessler syndrome?
No.
Okay, so Kessler syndrome is basically this thing that, you know how there's like a bunch of junk in space? Like, obviously, like space itself has a lot of junk, but like around Earth, there's a lot of junk. There's a lot of satellites and like old fuel tanks from like shuttles and, you know, just all kinds of junk everywhere. And, you know, decommissioned satellites that come apart, you know, and it's just sort of floating around the Earth. Well,
yeah.
Kessler syndrome is this theoretical idea. If you get so much junk in there that eventually junk will start colliding with each other, which will cause a chain reaction that will make, you know, space travel that much more difficult because you've got all this little pieces flying at hundreds, if not thousands of miles an hour, very fast in a zero gravity. Well, the reason I'm telling you that is because the ISS, you know, the International Space Station, actually had to move this week so it would avoid hitting a bunch of Russian space junk.
Yeah, and this Russian space junk was created about a year ago as they were trying out some sort of test, anti-satellite missile test, that shot out the Cosmos 1408 satellite, destroyed it with a missile November 2021, creating about 1,500 pieces of debris. And yeah, U.S. officials condemned this test, saying it create hundreds of thousands more pieces of debris in the coming years. And yeah, they had to maneuver the ISS. They fired the thrusters for about 5 minutes and 5 seconds, what they call a predetermined debris avoidance maneuver that moved it between 0.2 and 0.8 of a mile. Without that move, the satellite debris would have come in within about 3 miles of the space station. It'd been a bit too close for their comfort there.
Yeah, because remember, this is stuff that is flying very fast in a zero. Yeah.
Yeah.
Newton's third law. When you're out in space, it is very important to keep in mind. And especially, you know, like, I mean, that stuff flying at that speed can like rip holes in otherwise very strong materials. So
yeah, and as NASA says, pieces larger than a millimeter number about 100 million objects between 1 centimeter and 10 centimeters in diameter number about 500,000 and for about 25,000 pieces of debris larger than 10 centimeters that are known to exist. So yeah, there's a lot of that stuff out there. And if you want to learn more about that kind of stuff, beyond just, you know, reading about it, there's an anime that's essentially about a lot of this kind of stuff called Planets.
Yep.
It's about, like, space garbage men going out there to clean up this kind of shit. Because it's something that threatens, you know, a humanity in that show that lives in space.
Yeah, that has very active space. But yeah, basically that's their sort of whole job. They're basically they're space garbage people. That's their they basically pilot a rickety hunk of a spaceship going around collecting space garbage for work. It was originally the animation of a manga, which is in English, available from Dark Horse, and definitely worth reading. It's really good. Yeah. So, moving on from there, we are now very much in the entertainment portion of the show. And first and foremost, we got the news that James Gunn and Peter Safran have been hired to lead DC Studios for Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yep. Big move for James Gunn, as, you know, it wasn't that long ago where a social media campaign by the far right managed to get him fired from working at Marvel Studios on films, which is definitely by some, I forget what the dude's name is, Mike Cernovich, something like that.
Yeah, it was Mike Cernovich.
That, you know, I was like, oh, congrats. Now he's the head of DC, their film initiative. Which I think they're, along with like a lot of this news, they're also dropping the DC Extended Universe, you know, name for other film stuff, and they're just calling it the DC Universe or DC Universe Offline, as there's an MMO out there called DC Universe Online. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So it was that led to him doing a new Suicide Squad movie and.
That
among
was
other stuff,
far superior to the other Suicide Squad movie in just about every way possible.
Yeah, and the spinoff show Peacemaker, kind of stuff like that. Since like, yeah, it's a pretty good guy to get as a leadership for your DC Universe stuff, especially since his style of filmmaking is probably one more that fits DC than Marvel.
Yeah,
of. Very dark and humorous kind of stuff. Though there are obviously like Guardians of the Galaxy and such that fit that pretty well. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see sort of how his role at Marvel goes as he still has, you know, another Guardians of the Galaxy film and some other stuff to work on there, but may end up focusing more on DC since that's where the majority of his money is going to be coming from there.
But, moving on there, we got trailers and teasers to talk about. First, we got a teaser trailer for Peacock's Poker Face series, which is basically like a sort of story, weak crime story about a woman who has the incredible ability to tell if a person is lying or not.
Yeah, it's a Rian Johnson show. That's why it's... Noteworthy starts January 6th on 26th on Peacock. Natasha Lyonne is the main character, Charlie.
Yep.
10 episode Mystery of the Week kind of series, and looks real good. It shows some guest stars of like Adrian Brody and some other characters here. Looks really nice. Kind of a big surprise. He says he had been working on it for about the past year. So yeah, more stuff from him. Does a very good job with this stuff.
Yeah. But, we also got a trailer for 1899, which, looks definitely interesting.
Yeah. 1899 from the creators of Dark, a very popular Netflix show coming from German creators. This one seems to have a similar kind of mysterious vibe around this ship called the Kerberos, that sort of runs across another ship along their trip, and they decide to stop and see like what the hell's going on with this ship, and apparently find more than they bargained for, I guess. So that's neat looking from creators that are. Very well regarded in the Netflix realm. That show will be starting November 17th.
Yeah.
Yep. 1899. So, like, before the Titanic stuff, essentially, the way their timeline lines up on this, so the show, they're on here kind of is in that kind of vein of, like, a very large ship with those kind of big-ass smokestacks on it, like the Titanic had.
Yeah. Speaking of Netflix, we also got another teaser trailer. It's for their upcoming Sonic Prime series. Yes, it involves Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, and this looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks good. Animation looks good. Pretty classic. Character designs.
At least for the start, because the big thing is that Dr. Robotnik has this whole crystal that's going to help him, whatever, take over the world, whatever it is. Sonic goes to attack it, and at the time that that does, like, there's this big explosion that sends him off into, like, an alternate world.
Yeah.
Where a lot of the areas from, you know, the Green Hill Zone and all that still seem to exist, but as, you know, areas in, like, a... Like, areas in, like, a Final Fantasy VII style world of sorts, like the huge technology, maybe a little steampunkish kind of vibe to it. And he runs into, like, other versions of these characters, you know, Amy, Tails, Rogue is in their crew for whatever reason this time, and Knuckles.
Yeah.
And, like, dealing with those, like, new personalities that these characters have and all that.
Speaking of Rouge, they have her wearing a body instead of having her cleavage out, which, as you can imagine, has pissed off the exact same people you would think of. But screw those people. Who cares?
Yeah.
But it is the internet, so there will be assholes. But yeah, it looks pretty good.
And that'll be starting...
I think it's in December.
December 15th. Yeah, 15th.
All right. And now for Marvel stuff, we got an official trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yeah. Really nice looking trailer for this thing. I've seen people that are kind of mad about it for whatever reason, because they're like, oh, they're not going to do as much of the big stuff going small or small stuff getting turned big because he's going to the quantum realm. And it's like, okay, you got two of those movies. And also, Ant-Man does more than just make big things small and small things big. As you hear, it's tying into the wider MCU stuff that's going on for the upcoming phase with Kang being a big deal here.
Kang the Conqueror,
Yeah. As you hear, he's just Kang. I don't know if he has conquered anything just yet. So much, though, introduced in Loki. But also, this is a further example of how Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave is infesting the MCU, as there's a bit where he goes into a coffee shop, and the one dude from the infamous I Think You Should Leave skit, where that, like, the car survey thing, where he's like, you know, I think we need a steering wheel that just doesn't fly off while you're driving. Like the older guy, and he comes here and, you know, calls him Spider-Man. Thank you, Spider-Man. To which he's like, what the fuck? Just leaves. Yeah, they had one of the other cast members of that show in She-Hulk for a bit, so they're starting to get out there as MCU people, so... That's a fun thing. But yeah, this will be out February 17th next year. Looking good.
Yep. And finally, last but not least, we got an official trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Yep.
Of course.
Pretty soon after the James Gunn announcement for DC Studios, they put out this... they're calling this a special presentation as well, like the werewolf... thing they were doing. But this one seems to be about, you know, Peter's in kind of a rut after all the stuff that's happened. Gamora's gone. Mm-hmm. So he's just kind of depressed, and they're trying to figure out like what to do, and they find out about Christmas on Earth, and you know, trying to find the perfect gift for him. And apparently, I guess at some point in the second movie, he talks about how his favorite person is Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess as a part of this, they remember that and manage to track him down and kidnap him as their present for Star-Lord. Mm-hmm. I guess also feature Cosmo.
Yeah.
Space Dog. So
mm-hmm.
there you go. Mm. Yeah, that'll be out November 25th on Disney Plus. I assume it's probably like an hour long thing, something like that. Nothing too big. Mm-hmm. That'll be a fun thing to have.
Uh-huh. Well, we got ourselves a show, folks. So, yeah, that's going to be it for this week. It's also going to be the it for this month as well. By the time we see you next week, it's going to be November. Man, the year is very quickly coming to a close. Yeah, so if you got any questions or comments or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator that you can find. And if we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. We will be on there eventually, whether you want it or not. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. If you enjoyed what you heard, please tell your friends, your family, or even your worst enemies, because they may hate you, but they may like us. Now, we're going to go ahead and put it all to rest to bed here. Join us next week. We will have much more crazy crap to talk about. We will be firmly in November, which means that we'll basically be in the Christmas season, even though it won't have even seen a drop of snow yet. I am dreading it. Good night, everybody.